All eyes are on the markets this morning because of the Standard & Poor's downgrade. It appears that the markets are really going to take a hit early. What does it all mean? Well, what I'm understanding is interest rates will go up, mortgage rates, student loans, car loans, all these credit cards, they're going to just go up. And they're talking about taking your 401 and maybe making it a safer deal, like a CD. There's a CD within a 401k. You can opt for 4 or 5% return and doing things like that because this could be a while. Well, it's good to have our island of calm and wisdom on Mondays and Fridays, 7:38. It's Hall of Famer Mike Ditka in Chicago. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Carlos. How are you?
Johnny is in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Stevie, what's up?
Well, we need the both of you, president and vice president. We need some leadership here, guys. What are we going to do here? I mean, there's going to be the worst part about all this is panic. I mean, people are freaking out about this downgrade, and yet, Johnny, should we have been downgraded?
Well, of course we should. Are you kidding? Wait a second, Steve. Who rates these things? Let's think about that. It's a rating company, and what criteria would you need? Any criteria, Steve. Look at management. Derate. How about our debt? Derate. How about your business plan going forward? That's a derate. There's no customer confidence in the government. We're the customers. We don't have a whole lot of confidence. Probably derate. And, of course, it's government. It's politics. Not a lot of political I don't see how you can complain about it being derated. I don't think there's a panic because we've been watching this whole thing, and it's not a new story that we have financial issues. I wouldn't advise you to buy stock in the country right now, Mike. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think you got to understand who Standard & Poor is, too. I mean, they haven't hit anything right in a long, long time. They missed just about everything in the world, and finally they come down on this. And I agree. I listened to Trump this morning a little bit. There's a little bit of arrogance in it. I think what it's saying is, you got to tend to your household, and I think this is where we've failed. We failed in this administration. Secretary Timothy Geithner has done nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And should be, can't. He really should be. I mean, it's ridiculous to get to where we got right now in this country. There was no need for it. Now, I don't only blame the Democrats. I blame the Republicans, too. Because when you got a chance to balance the budget, when you got a chance to cut spending, you've got to do it. And this is where they both were wrong. Each one blamed the other one. Now we have the thing, the downgrade is being blamed on the Tea Party. Stop it. Are you kidding me? I mean, what in the world are these people doing? I mean, it becomes a new slang, a new term, where we'll blame the so-called radicals on the right because they want to balance the budget and they want to cut spending. So we'll blame them for this problem. Well, how does that make sense? But people don't look into it and say, well, maybe it is the Tea Party's fault. That's all they hear. So it makes no sense at all, and there's no credibility to any of these statements that are being made coming out of Axelrod and these people. It's incredible when you look at it, the hypocrisy going on in our government.
And I think, Steve and Mike, that the downgrade is largely based on just that. There isn't any realistic dealing with this problem. It's he did it. I don't know. I sound like, the Tea Party did it. What are you talking about? And it's insane.
John, so, what they said, it's not a financial downgrade. It's a political downgrade, basically. I mean, that's basically why it's come about. It's a joke.
And I think that if you can't be downgraded now, if we're not going to be downgraded now, when are we going to be downgraded? At what point do you say, man, I don't know if we really know what we're doing? And I think we're way past that stage. And if there's any meaning to any of these ratings, you have to do something. Because what they came up with this last go-around wasn't that impressive. And so, and it's not like we're going broke. They aren't saying that. It's still, a double A plus or something. I don't know how you get any A's involved in this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's not like it's the end of the world. And I think you'll see a definite jog in the market, but I don't think that in and of itself is the end of the world by any means. But
that's the thing, John. Here's the thing: there's going to be a big adjustment in the market. But look at the other markets around the world.
Right.
Stop it. I mean, people are still investing here. I mean, I don't have the answer. I'm not an economist, but I'm just telling you what it's such a convoluted mess. I mean, everybody is saying one thing, and really nobody's saying anything.
I'm not sure that you wouldn't be better because you're not an economist, Mike. It's a simple matter of you don't spend more than you make. I mean, that sounds trite and very, very shallow, but that's all there is to it. So
Mr.
either
Lincoln,
you make more or you spend less. It's that simple.
Mr. Lincoln said it in 1860, you cannot spend more than you earn.
Right. And the other problem is, and this is political, Steve, there's agreement on just two things. One is, what we're doing isn't going to work, and it's not sustainable. And the other thing that we can agree on is that we're not going to agree on how to do anything about it.
Right,
we've agreed
exactly.
that we can't agree on doing something about it. So what is that? That's a complete stalemate,
yeah.
And we're headed straight over the cliff. So maybe it'll wake them up, and they'll get together and do something serious
that makes a little bit of sense. But the philosophical divide is so great.
Well, listen, we're talking about the Republic here. They're going to have to de-philosophize here. I think that, you know, you go to the mat over these philosophies and red herrings and principles, quote-unquote, that some of which don't really make any sense, and here we are. That's the problem. The philosophical divide is going to have to narrow, and we've put everything we've got on these folks, and they're just going to have to get together. That's just all there is to it.
Well, you know, you're 100% right, but I don't think they are. That's the thing. They have to, but I don't think they will, because the name-calling is so great. It's a blame game. It's a total example of the blame game. I mean, we still, you know, these people have been in office now since 2008, and they're still blaming the former administration. We inherited this. Well, you didn't inherit this. You inherited a debt, and you've doubled the debt. I mean, come on. But uninformed people listen to this, and that's all they hear. Well, oh, yeah, it is. It's the former administration's fault. This guy is a great guy, and he's a wonderful guy. Hey, you'd probably like to have dinner with him, but not President of the United States. Stop it.
All right, we're talking with Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, 741. Okay, sometimes when you're a kid, you're driving around, and you're on a long trip, and your parents might say, you better quiet down, or I'm going to stop this car. Are we stopping the car? Will we get the attention of our politicians? Is this finally, because we've been downgraded for the first time in U.S. history, will there be enough attention on this saying, whoa, we are in trouble, Johnny, and we will get in a room and fix this? Or is it just going to be business as usual?
Well, I think the attention, we've got their attention. They are attentive. But Mike's right. The problem is the divide, and you're right, this divide, this political, philosophical divide is so great, they may not be able to overcome it. And that would be pretty much a tragedy, since, you know, we overcame the Normandy beaches and maintained our freedom. You would think we could sit down at a table and come up with something. And we've been the witnesses, and we've put in our 2 cents worth, but that's what it comes down to. And we either just keep going and see what happens, or we step up and do something. And I think we've got their attention, Mike. I don't think that's the problem. It's just what are they doing?
John, I don't think it's going to change. This is a different generation. This is a generation of people that are now running our country that came out of the 60s, 70s, probably. And it's a whole different generation. I don't think it's a generation that puts country first. I really don't. I think it puts themselves first. Ideology, whatever you want to call it, they got this, they got that, the war's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. You know, all they do, what I see in Washington right now, I see a lot of people who react instead of people who act, who are decision makers, who step outside, who are not afraid to take a bullet once in a while. And if you're afraid to take a bullet, hey, you're always going to stay in the background, that's all.
Well, I think that's a good point, too, and it's probably more like 70s and 80s. And when you go click it back about a generation, Steve, people were much closer to the reality that we could have lost everything with the World War II situation. And that's a reality and an appreciation that's
absolutely
grounded.
That's right.
I think now there's just no belief that anything can really go wrong. Old baloney, this is the United States of America. Maybe that's what's good about the downgrade. It's like, you know what? You're downgraded, USA, because you deserve to be. Now fix it. So maybe it'll be a plus. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive, Stevie. I think Mike's the reality is Mike's looking at the same people. I don't know what they're going to do. It's I don't have a lot of confidence.
I think you hit it, too. It's almost like there's so much arrogance right now. Who, you're going to downgrade us? United States of America? Well, yeah, we are. And then you got China throwing their barbs, too, to know about business as usual. I mean, it's pretty interesting. I'm totally amazed. But, again, that's why people keep trying to get in this country. It's such a bad country.
Yeah. Well, and it's, the way forward, again, I think the reality and the perception could be totally different from the standpoint of investors, because when the bell rings here at 8:30, I mean, who knows? And it isn't necessarily sensical, but it is fact that there's going to be people selling out of this thing because of their fear. And that's, if you have a 401k, you certainly wouldn't sell into this thing. You'd have to just turn your head away from the TV. That's all.
Well, and, Steve, gold's over 1,700 over the weekend, probably going to hit 2,000. And, they're just going to, people want to take their money and put it where they think it's the safest. So whatever they perceive that to be. And the USA has been a pretty solid investment. And now that's, been questioned. Yeah. Like I said, it's not like they've said, put them on bankruptcy watch. It's just downgraded to a AA+.
All right. I'm going to shift gears to a bloody weekend in Afghanistan. A horrible story, Mike and Johnny, about this helicopter that goes down. Apparently, the Taliban has shot down 23 of our Navy SEALs, 30 Americans. Just a horrible story. Reminds us of the danger in Afghanistan.
Well, and also just sad that you lose some great guys like that who are over there fighting for us. And it's war. And it's terrible. And, you get down about that, and there's not a very bright side to it.
It makes you sick to your stomach when when I saw that. I really did. It's just such a tragedy to me. These young men who are the elite of our Navy, to go down like that, it wasn't even in a battle, really.
Well, and they're celebrating, certainly, over there, the Taliban and their followers. This was a great victory in their mind for them.
Well, and these special forces guys—they are top notch guys. And of course, we know people all of us that come back, and they're just disciplined. They're committed. They're reliable type of guys. They've worked hard. They're trained, and just have prayers for them and their families, Steve. And I'm thankful that we have guys like that.
Well, and again, the future, I mean, we're going to be there a while, right? I don't see an end game in Afghanistan, certainly, because you're dealing with people that are in the, 14th, 15th century and trying to negotiate here with tribes, and it's a very difficult situation we have ourselves in.
Well, and
you're right. You just, I don't know. You like to get out of there. How are you going to get out of there? Yeah. And I think eventually we will get out of there. I don't think you can ever change what's going on in that part of the country, part of the world, really.
No.
I think people are, that's what they want, fine. I mean, maybe they'll kill each other.
Well, and of course, we just need to be a little more independent here, because we're very reliable on that, reliant on that part of the world, and we do a lot of the funding for a lot of what's happening globally, and including the threat to us.
Well, and if the Middle East and the entire region sold cucumbers, we wouldn't be as concerned, but we got to have energy. Johnny, the country can't operate without energy. We won't succeed, correct?
Sure. We've built quite a system that's... pretty much a short fuse on maintaining our quality of life because of our urbanization. When we were rural, Mike, we could have made it months and years without big supply lines and chains coming with food and with other life's necessities, but we've just concentrated ourselves in these monster cities, so we need energy to keep everything moving, and there's not a whole lot of time to shut supply lines down, if you will. So that's where we are, having to keep ahead of that curve so that everybody can survive the way we want to.
And you know as well as anybody, and you're an expert at it, the source is there. You just got to open it up, right?
Yes. We could do better, but it's not instant.
Do a lot better.
It's years down the road, and we did. Listen, we chuckle about Jimmy Carter, but he had an energy program that lasted about 18 months, identifying areas where we could have worked to get energy, that we would be in a much better its position, and it cost more than $10 a barrel oil. So OPEC lowered the price of oil to $10, and we just bought it and quit all the other programs.
Yeah, yeah.
And here we are. Now it's 100.
Yeah, it was that 30-some years ago, right? I mean,
yeah.
My gosh, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. It's a failure of the entire system to what is it will put us in this position today. We're going to check the Wall Street Report. We'll be right back with our final segment with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 until 8. I'm Stevie J on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. All right, 7:51, back with our final segment with Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, Brother Johnny, oil and gas ace, heavy lift expert to the world, and a member of the National Academy of Sciences. Rick Perry, Governor of Texas, Johnny, getting criticism for being part of this prayer rally. Boy, I tell you, one thing that America needs right now is a lot of prayer.
Well, I think he's a great guy, and you know he's going to get criticized because any sort of public religious display brings criticism. It seems to be more if you're a Christian than any other religion, I've noticed. So, but I think he's a great governor, and of course he's also getting a lot of pressure to run for president.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Steve. Can't give you any insights on that, whether he'll decide to try that deal.
I can give you some.
What you got?
Look at the critics. Who are the critics? And then you dismiss it. That's all you do. I admire him so much, man. Listen, I'm not saying that I could do it, or I don't say everybody should do it. But I admire a man that can profess what he believes, his religion, that eloquently. And what he said was very nice. He prayed for the president. He prayed for Congress. He prays for everybody.
Yeah, but he's up there praying.
That's what he believes. That's God bless him.
Yeah, what about up there praying for the president?
How do you criticize that? I don't
how
get
do you
it.
Criticize
well, you do because, you know, then you're making, it's almost like you're making fun of the president that he needs a lot more than this guy needs. Probably a little bit more in prayer, but we hope it works out.
All right, let me switch to a few sports items before we let you go. The Pittsburgh Pirates, Mike, have lost 10 straight, and that's after they made these moves. Could it be that the new moves told the old team that they weren't good enough? I don't know what happens to chemistry, but, boy, the Pirates were all of a sudden contenders, and now they're way back.
Well, you know, I don't know. You will assume they were overachieving for a while.
Yeah.
I can't answer, but I mean, what they lost 16 out of 17, 15 out of 17.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Something like that. It's crazy now. And it started really with the Cubs winning and beat them up a little bit, and then seemed like everybody else has. And then you look at, I'm just in depression right now. The Yankees lost last night, you know, late in the game. And I mean, you know, it went to extra innings. So, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, Red Sox Yankees. That's a heck of a battle as well.
Well, those Cubbies have been at least showing they have a team in the major league.
They are. Yeah, I just think, you know, where their problem is, it's even middle relief. You know, again, Marshall got banged around yesterday. They're playing much better. They're playing good. They're trying. I mean, they look very competitive. You know, at least they don't have to win it. They can make a run at it. They don't have to be sitting down at the bottom.
Yeah. All right, and in golf, Adam Scott wins. Now, this was the strangest thing I've ever done. Adam Scott wins. He's walking up on the 18th, and they're chanting Stevie Williams' name, the former caddy of Tiger, who's now caddy for Adam Scott. They're chanting the caddy's name.
Well, give him some credit. Hey, you know, there he is, showing up in the winner's circle again.
Well, they're interviewing him.
Yeah, Stevie hit a lot of shots. He really did.
I'll tell you though, Mike, you got to give him something there. I mean, obviously that's a good.
Carried the bag. He carried the bag. That's what he did.
That's what's wrong with my game, Mike. I don't have Steve Williams. If I did,
we made Stevie Williams a hero, and then he comes out and talks. I mean, of all the things that he had done when he was on Tiger's bag and the championships they won, say that this is the greatest win. It's pathetic in my opinion. I don't care if you're a Tiger Woods fan or not. Come on. Get off the bandwagon. You're a caddy.
Yeah, and I also, why would you go there? I mean, come on.
Because he's taking a shot at Tiger. You know what he's doing. I mean, why do it?
Why do
if you're
it?
You're a big man, Stevie Williams.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely right. There's no gain there. And come on, you're the caddy. Certainly you've gotten good advice and given good advice over the years. But you're not the story. Adam Scott did swing the golf club, okay?
Well, actually, though, Steve, with the fans starting to Stevie Williams. He is part of the story.
Well,
so
this weekend, I guess so, because of the irony of Tiger back for the first time and Stevie off the bag and on the Scott's bag. But I don't think you get in there and do a dig on Tiger. It doesn't show class for me. Anyway.
Well, I agree with that, but I think that a caddy is a part of a team, and I think that they can make a lot of difference.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Let me ask you guys one question real quick. Who was the story of the week in that golf tournament? Adam Scott or Tiger Woods?
Yeah, Tiger.
It's
good.
Simple.
Yeah.
It was Tiger Woods, guys.
It was.
And he's good for golf, and when he's there, it's a better tournament. Whether you like it or you don't, whether you like Tiger Woods or you don't.
Now, wait a second.
Well, hey, you're right, Mike, because here we are talking about Tiger Woods, former caddy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, Johnny, based on what the tenor of what you just said, so if I talk Stevie Williams into carrying my bag, you'll sponsor me on the senior tour?
We'll talk offline on that, Steve.
That doesn't sound very positive. All right. Well, listen, guys, we'll leave it there, but we will be back with you on Friday. Thank you so much. Let's pray for the United States of America. We're the greatest nation. We still are, and we can keep it going, but I don't want people to go sell their 401ks today. That'd be a bad move.
All right. God bless America. Let's wake up.
We'll hang in there.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Johnny.
Guys.
Thank you. It's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8:00. I hope you enjoy our segments together.